The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. It has been a long time since we had something really to wrap our arms around, but we have finally reached that moment. We're going to learn a lot here in the next few minutes. So let me welcome in my friend Dari Noka, who will handle the heaviest lifting this network has had in some time. Dari, thank you very much. And what's going to happen over these next few minutes?
Well, you got it, Paul. It's good to be here. And I'm going to bring in my man Chris Doering as well, because we do. There's got to be some football meat on the bone, right? And that's where we are now, CD. We're about to reveal the two additional conference games. They're all conference games that each of the 14 SEC schools and football programs will face. CD, some will be happy, some won't. You can't please everybody, but don't we just want to see any games right now?
Yeah, you can't please everybody, but I think people will be excited at the end of the day to see these additional teams added, and excited to just have football in general because of how difficult it's been over the last few months.
There's a way you need to look at this, all right? You're going to see the teams added to your team schedule. Look at this as a 10-game totality, 30,000 feet view, whatever it may be. Not so much focus on the two new teams on the schedule. In other words, you got a difficult strength of schedule coming in. You might get a little bit of a break in the two new teams. We're going to go alphabetically. That means we start with Alabama. They will travel to Missouri. Remember, everybody gets a home game and a new road game, obviously facing teams in the other division. So Alabama, the road game for the Tide, the new one will be at Missouri, and a new head coach in Eli Drinkwitz. So that's the road game for Bama. CD, the home game for Bama, Kentucky will come into Tuscaloosa. They are 37-2 all-time against Kentucky is Alabama. CD?
Dari, I said somebody was going to draw a mid-tier team that they didn't want to see. Well, Alabama drew them. Kentucky has a very good team with a lot of experience returning. And how about the two best offensive lines in the league going head-to-head in Tuscaloosa?
That's right. All right, let's go from Alabama to Arkansas. Remember, their strength of schedule coming in, not overly difficult. Keep that in mind when you see that they will host Georgia. So Georgia is coming into Fayetteville. It doesn't get easier from here, folks. The road game that Arkansas has added to its schedule is at the Swamp, CD. So they have Georgia coming in, and they travel to Florida. Again, don't look at this just from the two new additions. Look at this from the 10-game totality.
Yeah, you got the two teams that most are predicting to be atop the SEC East. And by the way, you could look at Georgia as a benefit getting them at home, but they lost to San Jose State and to Western Kentucky at home last year. So I'm not sure Arkansas fans are celebrating that much.
No, I don't think they are. Okay, how about Auburn? You look at Auburn, the two East teams they get, the road game at South Carolina. So Will Muschamp hosting Auburn. The home team, the home game for Auburn of these new two is Tennessee, a much improved team that seems to certainly be on the rise, kind of a trendy pick in the East a little bit. How do you look at the additions for Auburn, CD?
Well, I think as a whole, you could have done a lot worse. But I think with Tennessee, maybe one of the biggest wild cards, you mentioned the 6-game winning streak. Do we get the Jarrett Garantano that looked great towards the end of the year? Or are we going to look at that Tennessee team that started the season woefully last year?
Yeah, Auburn, by the way, they've won 6 of their last 7 against Tennessee. So from them, we go to the Gators. And we already showed you Arkansas is going to Florida. We know that one. Who does Florida go to on the road? A new addition. This one is intriguing, CD. Florida goes to A&M. What do you make of the Gators' new teams?
Well, here I am in Gainesville. A lot of people worried about it being Texas A&M and Alabama, and I can tell you they blew a sigh of relief when they didn't see Florida on Alabama's schedule. But going to Texas A&M, that's the team everybody's looking at this year as the one to make the big LSU-type jump from last year.
Yeah, so road games at A&M and Tennessee, among others, for the Florida Gators. Let's go to their biggest rival. That would be Georgia. Georgia additions. They go to Arkansas. We showed you that. You might ask, who do the dogs get at home? Well, the answer, will be Mississippi State making its way to Athens there. Again, You want to criticize and say, wait a minute, they got Arkansas and Mississippi State, two of the perceived weaknesses in the West. Let's not forget that they already have a difficult schedule, does Georgia. So that is where these things kind of come into play. Again, look at it as a totality, not just the two new teams. Alabama on that schedule as well.
Georgia fans very happy to see Arkansas and Mississippi State, although I'm not sure with the other Bulldogs what you're getting. KJ Costello, new quarterback there. You get Mike Leach. It could be a little bit unsettling for the Georgia Bulldog fans.
Yeah. I mean, when Georgia's already got to deal with Alabama and Auburn, you'll take the perceived break in getting Arkansas and Mississippi State. All right, from Georgia we go to Kentucky. We showed you earlier they are traveling to Alabama, so we know that one. The home game, who's coming to Lexington, the new addition? That would be Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. We know that game against Bama will not be easy, but that Kentucky defense will be tested by that Lane Kiffin offense and their dynamic quarterback. What do you see here?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I told you the surprise team from the East that nobody wanted to draw was Kentucky. Well, the team I predicted that could be dangerous from the West is this Ole Miss team, so it'll be fun to see these matchups between these two teams that I think have a lot of potential. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, you mentioned it. They got a lot of young returning fun players, and I know Chiz will be excited to watch John Rhys Plumlee this year.
Oh, you know Chiz is always excited to watch John Rhys Plumlee. Even if he's just playing the piano, he's excited to watch John Rhys Plumlee. All right, how about the defending national champs? What does it look like for LSU? Well, their home game is Missouri. So Eli Drinkwitz and those Tigers make their way to Missouri. And by the way, if you're a Missouri fan watching this, you've now successfully been able to piece together the two teams that have been added to your football schedule. And you might not like it very much, but LSU gets Missouri at home, and the Tigers' road game will be at Vanderbilt. So again, you look at it in totality. LSU does already play Florida every year. They've got Bama. They got Auburn, A&M. A&M's a road game. Auburn's a road game. Schedule very difficult at times. Thus, Vanderbilt and Missouri, you can justify perceived weaker teams coming in.
Yeah, I think LSU would celebrate this schedule here, particularly because of Vanderbilt. Last year's trip to Nashville, pretty successful. They drank the Vanderbilt Commodores out of all their alcohol at the stadium. So that was I don't think they'll happen again this year, but I think LSU fans are obviously happy with these two draws.
All right, so let's keep on cruising. Now, we showed you one of the Lane Kiffin games. We told you that Ole Miss was going to Kentucky. Who is coming into Oxford to face Ole Miss? That would be South Carolina. So their road edition, Kentucky, home edition for Ole Miss is the Gamecocks.
Is there a team outside of South Carolina that we maybe know less about heading into this year? I mean, they were beat up towards the end of the year last year. Obviously, a little bit of pressure on Will Muschamp. So I think this is a game that we don't really know what the Ole Miss Rebels are going to get from South Carolina.
That's a very good point. No question about that. All right, how about Mississippi State? We showed you that they are traveling to Georgia. We showed you that on Georgia's schedule. They have a home game added to their schedule, obviously, and that will be Vanderbilt. So it's Vanderbilt making their way to Starkville to face Mike Leach in his first year at Mississippi State.
Yeah, I imagine the Mississippi State folks were happy about seeing Vanderbilt. No disrespect to the Commodores, but I think there's worse opponents that they could have drawn, particularly in Mike Leach's first year, not having the benefit of having a spring practice or off-season conditioning program. This gives you kind of the opposite ends of the SEC Eastern Division's standings, at least from last year.
And, CD, I want to remind people, too, as you're watching this, keep this in mind. You don't see dates. No, the dates are not out at this particular point. In fact, the dates that you thought you knew, erase them. They are gone. There will be a new schedule with new dates to come. Meanwhile, Missouri, whew, my goodness, LSU on the road, Alabama to Como. You're not going to get much more of a difficult addition there if you're Eli Drinkwitz in year one.
Yeah, none of these first-year coaches are going to have a great time in the SEC this year with a 10-game schedule, but I can tell you Eli Drinkwitz, not probably what he wanted to see here in this reveal today.
No, and again, some of these we've already been able to piece together. South Carolina, their road game is Ole Miss. Their home game is Auburn. So that's what the Gamecocks have added.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good balance there. You get teams that I think project to both of the middle portion of that Western Division.
All right. How about Tennessee? Again, Jeremy Pruitt's team certainly appears to be on the rise. Auburn is their added road game, and Texas A&M is their added home game. So a couple of tough ones there for the Vols.
Now, I think it's going to be exciting to see that Auburn renewal. But it used to be a great rivalry back in the day between Auburn and Tennessee. So I think I'm excited. Maybe one of the most exciting games, I think, was added to the schedule there.
Yeah, how about the great home games for Tennessee, too? Alabama, A&M, Auburn all coming their way. All right, how about Texas A&M, the Aggies, Florida, added to them as a home game, which will be dynamite, road game at Tennessee.
Yeah, that I think back to that great game between Johnny Manziel, kind of his debut against the Gators a few years back in College Station. If they could get anything near as dramatic as that, I think it'd be fun for all of us SEC fans.
By the way, Gator fans may hearken back to the Heisman year for Johnny Football. They beat Johnny Football and the Aggies 20-17 that season. And then Vanderbilt, as we continue to go alphabetically, and we finish with the Commodores. Their two new opponents, road game at Mississippi State and a home game against the defending national champions.
Yeah, again, probably not great to see LSU on the schedule, but I don't know that anybody right now is all that comforting to the Vanderbilt team where they are, given the last year's finishing schedule.
Yeah. So if you were to pick, I mean, we're looking at three teams whose schedule additions seem a bit more difficult than the rest. A&M certainly is. Arkansas and Missouri, my goodness, CD, this is a Alabama and LSU. Missouri has not beaten either one of those teams since 1978. They're 0-5 against them since. How do you explain this to those fan bases?
Well, I mean, I think you did a good job of talking about it earlier. You have to look at the 10-game totality of the schedule. It's not necessarily about the addition of these two new opponents. I think anybody was going to be upset with the debut of the schedule. And it obviously, they did not use the rotation. People thought, hey, we're going to add maybe the 2021, 2022 opponents. That could have been random. Why wouldn't they choose 2023 or 2024? So I think the conference did a good job of looking at it as a whole and trying to piece together some schedules that would create a little bit of equity for everybody.
Real quick, what's the new matchup that gets your attention, gets you excited the most?
As a Florida guy, I'm excited about Texas A&M being on the schedule. Yeah. That's probably one of my favorites there. I think I mentioned it earlier, Kentucky and Alabama, I think that's going to be a sneaky good game that I'm a little bit fired up about.
Want to recap the new SEC medical protocols that came out this morning. A third-party group will do the testing for COVID-19, and all coaches, staff, and non-competing personnel during games on sidelines will be wearing face coverings. What do you think of the changes?
Well, I mean, I think it's common sense for the most part. You get an opportunity to invoke the social distancing rules, which I think is important. One of the things that was surprising to me, Dory, though, was the announcement that they will travel the night before. They will stay in hotels. I thought there was an opportunity potentially, or the SEC would decide to fly people in the day of the game. I can tell you as a player, that's not ideal. I did it in the NFL one preseason game. But I do think for the most part that they hit it the nail on the head with the protocols that they've invoked.
Good to see you, buddy.
Can't wait to be there with you in studio.
I'm going to go check Twitter. I'm sure it's alive and well. Paul, there it is. Enjoy it.
Thank you very much. I have had a blast watching this, and I know there's going to be a lot of reaction. Hello, Missouri. Our number is always the same, 855. I can't remember it, 855-242-7285. Who won, who lost, and who got wiped out? We look forward to hearing from you when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. We want your reaction. I want to pass along one more comment from Commissioner Sankey, where he said, we made every effort to create a schedule that is as competitive as possible and builds on the existing 8 conference games that had already been scheduled for 2020. This schedule is a one-year anomaly that we have developed under unique circumstances presented by the impact of COVID-19. And I know there will be a lot of criticism, but especially with some of the more prominent schools, Alabama and Georgia, but don't forget something. Alabama is playing Georgia, and you cannot make light of that. So if you're at Missouri right now, or Arkansas, or some of the other schools, you probably are pretty unhappy. Let's get some calls in here. JK is in Birmingham, and you're first up. What do you say, JK?
Paul, I'm beginning to think Sankey's lied a little bit more than Trump. First, it was we're going to get the next upcoming cross-conference team. Now the team that brags about the 5 stars, the recruiting class, and Nick Saban, they go out and avoid Florida at every cost and pick Missouri and Kentucky. And Sankey talking about he wants a competitive schedule?
Well, JK, you obviously just missed what I said. Alabama is playing Georgia. Those are the number 3 and 4 teams in the country based on the first poll of the season. So I think if you're trying to come up with an equitable schedule, you cannot lose sight of the fact that it was scheduled for the 19th. It will obviously be moved, but that game is a 3-4 game on the schedule. So what are you supposed to do? Send Alabama
Come on, Paul.
There's only so many options left. I'm just being honest about it.
So Alabama picked the weakest option instead of picking.
Well, no, Alabama didn't pick any options. If you're Missouri, you might as well just have a good time hosting Alabama and going wherever you're going, because you got the toughest schedule in Arkansas. But on the other hand, I'm not covering for anybody, but anyone who loses sight of the Alabama Georgia game is missing the point.
Paul, we know Alabama's playing Georgia, but if Sankey gonna say he's looking for the competitive for the fans and TV, Florida and Alabama is a whole lot better than Missouri.
It is. And by the way, you'll get that game next year.
Well, we should have got Florida this year. So evidently they want Alabama to go through the cupcake. They just got rid of 3 cupcakes.
Hey, hold on.
Now they're going to add
JK, we're going to have an honest conversation here. Alabama has LSU on the that game is – where is that game? On the road at Baton Rouge. They have Auburn. They have A&M. I mean, all those schools are in the top 10 or 12 in the country. So – getting Kentucky to me is, Kentucky is a competitive team. Alabama could have gotten Missouri and Vanderbilt, then I would have probably agreed with your thought process a little bit more. We do have to go. Thanks for the call. Thomas is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Thomas, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Paul. You're not going to get no criticism from me, because I'm loving this. These opponents from Georgia, I'm loving it. At first, I thought we weren't going to make it out this alive, Bob. Like, I thought they was going to get us again like they did in 2013. But also, I want to give a shout-out to my brother. He's battling leukemia, and it's been rough with us stuck at home. But I want to give a shout-out to him, even though he's a big Alabama fan. And he loves watching your show, Paul.
Yeah, well, certainly we're thinking of him and glad to know that, Thomas. I hope he recovers.
Thank you, Paul. Go Dawgs.
Yeah, one more thing. I was talking about Alabama. And I know Alabama is always going to be the center of attention. Alabama is also going to Tennessee, which is an up-and-coming team. So, I mean, talk about a school that has a bad schedule. Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee plays, all five of the top 13 schools in the SEC. Five of the top 13. I know Arkansas does as well, but Arkansas is not really a contender. Tennessee is trying to move up. I mean, it's just, Tennessee getting the road game at Auburn, that's no bargain. It's been a really interesting show. We want to get more of your reaction the rest of the way, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. You knew everyone wouldn't be happy, but you didn't expect one of the first people to chime in to be an athletic director, but that is exactly what has happened. Hunter Yerichek, who's the AD at Arkansas, just said, "We already own the nation's strongest 2020 football schedule, and with these additions to our SEC-only schedule, we now own the most challenging schedule in the history of college football." Is it challenging because the schools are good, or is it challenging because Arkansas hasn't won an SEC game in recent memory? By the way, they had Notre Dame as a non-conference game that got dropped. So Hunter Yerichek obviously standing up for his program. Let's get to the calls. I know there's a little bit of reaction out there. I'm only sad that we're going off the air in 30 minutes. I think we could be here all night. Let's check in with Logan, who is in North Carolina. Logan, we're the football season's here. How about that?
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great days, man. I can't remember being this excited about something since we were waiting to see if Alabama got into the playoffs. That's kind of sad, but watching the unveiling of the two teams we were going to play was pretty exciting. I thought they did a pretty good job. I mean, some teams probably got luckier than others. I don't know the formula. I don't know how they figured it out, but I think LSU came out smelling like a roses. In Alabama, we did okay, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama did – I mean, other than getting Vanderbilt twice, I think Alabama did really well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can't – I guess you can't play them twice unless you're in the Sun Belt, but – Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I'm interested to think or to know what you think about when the actual schedule is going to come out and how they're going
to
do that.
I've heard anywhere from next week to the week after. I don't know for sure, Logan. I think they're now we're talking about what normally goes into a college football schedule. It's juggling things around and matching it with television schedules, because I also think it's going to be interesting to see. This is just my supposition, how many games early in the season are marquee? And everyone knows the challenges of this season. So you saw the Big Ten try that with Ohio State, Michigan. I think you're going to try. I think the SEC will probably want to get the Alabama Georgia game pretty early. That's the biggest game of the year in the conference, and then and figure it out from there. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's continue with more. Dylan is up next in Tennessee. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, congratulations. You own the third most challenging schedule in the SEC behind Missouri and Arkansas.
Yeah, I didn't think it was very fair that we had to play Auburn and A&M when we played both of them in the last 4 years, but it's no biggie, I reckon.
Yeah, I have no idea how they went. I do know this, that I believe the schedule has changed quite a bit over the last week or so. There's no easy way to do it. I'm not defending anyone. I'm not criticizing anyone. All you can do is look and see who came out of it fairly well and who didn't. And I think it's pretty obvious. LSU came out of it very well. Alabama came out of it extremely well. Georgia did well. And Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee just got waylaid.
Right. I mean, as a Tennessee fan, you know, we're kind of used to getting dogged by the SEC guys anyways. It's usually how it is for the past, 20 years, whatever. We were solid in the 90s, but after that, after Fulmer left as head coach, we kind of just been getting dogged on by everyone else.
You know what I would have really liked, though? I would really have liked to have had a tape of the AD's meeting when this conversation went on. Anyway, hey, thanks for the call. Cooper is in Mississippi. You're on the air, and go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just want to talk to you. See, you know, some of these teams, they really rely on non-conference games for wins.
Right.
And now teams like Arkansas, Vandy, Ole Miss, and now Missouri, I mean, it's going to be real tough for them to get those wins. And with confidence with the players, and they might lose faith in their team without having these wins, it could lead to some players being in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many aspects of this, Cooper, and you're right. You know, the one thing I'm a little bit concerned about is once we get deeper into the season is what you just said. If your team is not doing very well and there are issues, you could see a lot of every aspect of this season is complicated. But remember one other thing. The game at wherever, let's say a game at LSU, game at Florida, game at A&M, game at Auburn, all these games that normally would be treacherous to win may not be as difficult to pull an upset because there will not be full stadiums. I don't think anyone really knows how many people will be in the stadium, but it's highly unlikely there will be many. Let's continue with calls. Joe is in Colorado. Joe, go right ahead.
Hi, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think everybody's overlooking Arkansas. I'm a huge Gator, and I think that might be a trap game for the Gators. I was never a huge fan of Felipe Franks. I was in college around the same time he was there. But I think
that... Yeah, you know, I don't mean to interrupt, but I mean, other than Florida having familiarity with Felipe Franks, I think Arkansas is going to have a hard time this year. I mean, they'll be a heavy underdog in pretty much every one of those big games.
Yeah, I think Florida could easily overlook them, not take them too seriously. I don't think Dan Mullen would let that happen, but...
No, that's going to be... I think this is... we'll get Danny Sheridan on one of these days, because I think there are going to be nightmares for odds makers, because... You know, there will be massive upsets for a lot of reasons other than the matchup, the obvious. You know, who's playing in the game? Let's go to Drew in Indiana. Hey, Drew, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Drew, we are doing great. Thank you.
I mean, I got to say, as an LSU fan, it's you couldn't have done much better than they did on the schedule, but I am a little bit disappointed that we didn't get a shot at Georgia again, because it seems Coach O seems to – you know, own Kirby Smart these days.
Well, that sounds good, but I don't think it has too much to do with anything in reality. Let's go to Drake next in Baton Rouge. Hey, Drake, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, just real quick question. I mean, the fact that the conference had to kind of do somersaults to come up with an equally balanced schedule for everybody, what does that say about kind of the balanced scheduling philosophy of the league as a whole? And maybe should we take another look at how these games are being scheduled? Because obviously there wasn't a whole lot of balance before if you're having to go through all this to come up with something that's reasonably equitable.
No, I think if you look at – let's talk about LSU and Alabama just to start with two of the better teams in the league. LSU already has a game again. Where's the Florida game this year? Is that in Gainesville or Baton Rouge? I can't remember.
It's in Gainesville.
Okay, so LSU is playing one of the most difficult games of the year on the road. So, you know, what else do you stick them with, I think, is the question. Alabama has the second best team in the league, according to the rankings, at home. They also go to Tennessee. They'll have Kentucky, which is a, you know, respected team. It's not a pushover. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of balance. I know what the conspiracy theorists are going to say. Here was the rumor that was going around that could never be substantiated. There was a lot of speculation that they would just simply move the rotation from next year up, which meant that Alabama would go to Florida. Sure. I like leaving the schedule. I think it made more sense to do a one-off than to move everything around, because plans are already – I mean, these schedules are made many years in advance.
Paul, I'm really talking more big picture. I mean, I understand trying to balance it out this year, but it really kind of shines a light on the fact that the schedules aren't balanced from a year-to-year basis.
No, they're not. But Drake, you can't do that with 8 conference games. You need at least 9.
Well, I think that's a good point, but I also think there are other things you can do. I mean, in the NFL, they match up their rotations based on the previous year's schedule. We have permanent opponents that may or may not provide certain teams with big advantages for decades and upon decades. LSU got off pretty well today. I don't want to have an easier schedule than anybody, but I don't want to have a harder schedule either. I want it all to be as fair and as balanced and as transparent as it can be, and it just doesn't feel like that's a priority in the league office.
Well, Drake, I think the issue, unless you do it every year, you're probably never going to get there. But if you do it every year, then what happens to the idea of a young person getting to play at various places? I mean, you could end up with a fairly similar schedule, could you not?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about young people getting to play at various places, I mean, LSU still hasn't been to Missouri. We played at Athens. A few years ago. We're not going back to Athens. It's like 2030.
No, but I think here's what I would say, and I think when this year is over, there is going to be either a more aggressive push to add a conference game, or people are going to think this is too detrimental. The reason in the past, I'll say this and shut up and go to the break, the reason why the conference as a whole has not wanted to add more conference games is that it affects the middle to lower level teams the most. What if you're Missouri? What's your goal this year? You're trying to have a winning season and go to a bowl game and build on that. Look what happened at Tennessee last year by going to a bowl game for the first time in eons and winning it. It gave Jeremy Pruitt such adrenaline and enthusiasm in the off season. It helped in recruiting. So if you're Arkansas, if you're Missouri, if you're South Carolina, you need to get to a bowl game this year. So you add more conference games, it makes it more difficult.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.